Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, praise God. It is wonderful to be here again tonight. I'm so glad for the depths that the Lord gives us, that we really do have something that we don't have to doubt. And we know something that's real, something that's genuine. I know the Lord put that spot in our hearts, a place in our heart that is only reserved for Him. And so many people, they're just empty. They're just empty inside. And they try to fill that emptiness with all kinds of pleasures of this world, all kinds of, you know, money or perhaps or things of the world. And you know, nothing satisfies except the Lord Jesus. And so without Him, you're just drifting. You know, you don't have a course. You know, you don't really have a purpose. But we have something here tonight to rejoice in. The Lord has given us something that's real, something that's genuine. And I'm so thankful. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and talk to Him here tonight as we begin. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You, Jesus. We thank You for what You've done in our lives. We thank You that You called us here together tonight, Lord. Oh God, those that are online and those that are here sitting among us, Lord, I pray, oh God, that You would minister to us. I pray, oh God, that, oh Lord, Your word would bring forth fruit, Lord. Oh God, that it would register in our hearts. Oh God, that it would come forth, oh God, to give us those things that we have need of, to get us to that place with You, Lord. Oh God, we could do nothing without You, Lord. We need Thy strength, we need Thy help, we need faith, Lord, to believe You, God. Oh God, faith to listen to that still, small voice that speaks to our soul. Oh God, I pray that You'd help us. I pray, oh God, that the strong man would be bound, all the works of darkness. Oh God, that the devil have no place here in any form or shape, oh Lord. We rebuke him and we ask the Lord, oh God, that Your presence would be here, that faith would be here, that You draw us near to You, Lord, that You'd work in our hearts. Oh God, that Your word would have free course. Oh God, that would bring forth that which You please, oh Lord, that which is to be accomplished. Oh God, You know how to do it, Lord, and I pray that You'd use me. Oh God, that You'd give me the words and that You'd help me, Lord. I know I could not do it without You, Lord. I thank You, Lord. I thank You that we could gather here. We could turn to Your word. Pray that it would talk to us. Oh, Lord, in the precious name of Jesus, by the power of the blood. Amen. Amen. Our God is certainly mighty. Oh, my. We have a strong tower in the Lord. Praise the Lord. We've been studying in Micah, and I guess it's been going rather slowly as far as getting through this little book, but you know, just trusting that the Lord would work and use it. I think these prophetic utterances that were given so long ago are so relevant for this moment yet today. And you know, the Lord talked to these men. He talked to Micah. He gave him the instructions that he needed. And how precious it is, the precious word of God. I love, you know, the Holy Ghost came upon the prophets of old and they would bring forth the word of God. But now He has put His Spirit within us. Oh, the Holy Ghost, so that we can utter forth His word, so that He can be in us, so He can direct our path, so we can know the way. Oh, yes, we don't have to wander around like, you know, we have no knowledge or we have no strength. We have, you know, no course. But we follow the leading of the Lord. We learn to follow Him. He is the shepherd. And He knows, He gives us the Holy Ghost so that we might be led by the Spirit of a living God and be directed by the Spirit of a living God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We are still in Micah, the fifth chapter, and I didn't get all that far. I'm going to read the first verses just to go over them, and let's see how the Lord will lead us here tonight. We've talked about this as a gathering, the gathering as the sheep of Bozrah, the second regathering. Oh, yes, that God brought forth together, forth His remnant, His people. And wow, there's so much that comes forth from this word of life. Praise the Lord. Micah, the 5th chapter. Verse 1 says, "Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." And what a beautiful utterance that was, the prophet Micah declaring how the Lord Jesus Christ would come forth out of Bethlehem. Bethlehem Ephratah, even though it was a small place among the thousands of Judah, that is where the Messiah would come forth, come out of. Praise the Lord. And yes, that's indeed how it happened. Yes, that's right. When the wise men came to Herod, you know, and wanted to know where they could find he that was born king of the Jews, they looked in the scripture, and this is the very verse that they found here, Micah chapter 5, verse 2, that indicated exactly where Jesus Christ was born. Praise the Lord. And it goes on to say, "Yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." Oh, praise the Lord, the God of all ages, robed in flesh, come to this world to redeem us from our sins. Praise the Lord. And it says in verse 3, "Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel." Praise the Lord. And that's what it was when Jesus came forth, when Mary travailed with the Son of God. It was that child that was within her womb that God had placed there. That child would be the one that would bring forth the remnant, that he would gather his people together. And he began that process when he began his ministry at age 30. He began to gather his remnant, those that God had reserved unto himself, those that would be his own sons and daughters. And praise the Lord, that process is still continuing. I don't know how much longer, you know, I see these signs. Oh my, I see all the indicators that one of these days he that shall come will come and not tarry. It's going to be over one of these moments. But it's when the family of God is complete, when that remnant is fully gathered, those that would return unto the children of Israel, part of the body of Christ. It says in verse 4, "And he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth." Oh, praise the Lord. The Savior reaching out not just for those that he was born among, the Jewish people, no, to all that the Lord our God shall call, being great even unto the ends of the earth. And praise the Lord, that includes us here tonight. Praise the Lord, if we've been called by the living God, then we are part of that remnant. We are part of the body of Christ. Praise the Lord, we are part of the children of Israel. Praise the Lord, for now, yes, this second regathering, he has called forth a spiritual family. Yes, the first family of God was of Israel, of a natural a people that were born in that land predominantly. There are always a few exceptions. Somehow the Lord would include others. But you know, that second regathering, when he would call forth his people, yes, it would include people from all parts of the earth. And praise the Lord, when he comes, when he calls, and that trumpet sounds, there's going to be a gathering from the east to the west, from the north to the south. He's going to gather us all, wherever we are. Praise the Lord, those that he has called. And it's going to be of every tribe, every nation, oh, every kindred, every people, a great gathering unto the Lord, His family that He has called forth as His spiritual own. Praise the Lord. Then it tells us in verse 5 here, "And this span shall be the peace when the Assyrian shall come into our land. And when he shall tread in our palaces, then shall we raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men. And they shall waste the land of Assyria with the sword, and the land of Nimrod in the entrances thereof. Thus shall he deliver us from the Assyrian, when he cometh into our land, and when he treadeth within our border." Now here, the context here is changing a bit. And he's talking about that time period when the Assyrians would come into the land. And to cover this area, we're going to go actually to the book of Isaiah. And just see how the Lord will bring this all forth. But the book of Isaiah amazingly tells us this account here that relates, I believe, to these scriptures. So here we'll go to Isaiah, the 36th chapter and the 37th chapter. The Lord leads here. And we know that prior to this time, the 10 northern tribes of Israel had already fallen. They had fallen year 721, and it was the Assyrians that took them. God had allowed it. He had done what he could do to bring them back to him, bring them back to the fold, but they had rebelled. So God allowed the Assyrians to come in and carry them off. And, you know, they gained, confidence, the Assyrians, and Sargon II had taken Samaria. And then, you know, they were very ambitious. They were covering the world as best they could. Those parts of the known world at that point were covered pretty extensively by the Assyrians. And, you know, after Sargon II, we have Sennacherib. And he began to invade Judah. So, you know, not only had they already taken the 10 northern tribes and that was done, but now they went into Judah II, the southern tribes there. And, you know, there was some success at the first. It tells us in verse 1 here in Isaiah 36, "Now it came to pass in the 14th year of King Hezekiah that Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, came up against all the defense cities of Judah and took them." So he is edging in. Sennacherib is having his armies come in, and he's edging in Judah, and he's taken the defense cities, several of them, it says all of them actually here, 46 cities from what I know, and they were taken. But he had not yet taken Jerusalem. And here we have Hezekiah as king of Judah. And, you know, Hezekiah is a man to be admired. He was one of the kings that did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David, his father, had done. And he had already done some very significant things. He had removed the high places. He had broken the images. He had cut down the groves. He'd even gone on to break the brazen serpent that Moses had made, because at that point in time, it had become an idol to the people of Israel, and they were burning incense to it. So he actually got rid of that. But it was deep in Hezekiah's heart that he trusted in the Lord. And you know, the scriptures tells us actually in 2 Kings, the 18th chapter, and I don't plan to read a whole lot from this chapter, but it says in verse 5, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses. And, you know, it came to him, you know, the Assyrians, as we said, were edging in. And Hezekiah had gone forth. He had, you know, done some wise moves. He had actually brought in water to the city of Jerusalem by a very great conduit that came from the upper waters and the waters in the Kindron Valley, and it brought water into the city. It piped in, and he did it, you know, very skillfully. They couldn't really see how, you know, it was brought in. It was covered. And so, praise the Lord, he does some very significant things in preparing. But, you know, he wanted to get out from under the Assyrians. But they are resisting. And here we read of some of the events that follow here. It tells us in verse 2 here in Isaiah 36, and the king of Assyria sent Rabshakeh from Lachish to Jerusalem unto King Hezekiah with a great army. And he stood by the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field. And, you know, now this was a concern, because where he was standing, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't the king, but he had sent Rabshakeh. And the king, or Rabshakeh rather, was, you know, going to utter forth, you know, his message. And he did it, you know, in such a way that many could hear him. Fuller's Field was in such a place that those that were on the walls of the city could easily hear what was being said in the Fuller's Field. And of course, Fuller's Field was a place where they cleaned clothes, where they bleached clothes, and all that sort of thing. That kind of processing went on in this area, but it was very near the wall of the city. And so those that were on the wall or near to the wall could hear what was being said in Fuller's Field. And so here we have this Assyrian that the king of Assyria, Sennacherib, sends Rabshakeh. And he's also got a very great army with him. So he's very threatening at this point. And here he is, you know, booming voice. I don't know just how, you know, it all echoed, but, you know, obviously they could hear. It tells us in verse 3, then came forth unto him Eliakim, Hilkiah's son, which was over the house, and Shebna the scribe, and Joah, Asaph's son, the recorder. And Rabshakeh said unto them, say ye now to Hezekiah, thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this wherein thou trustest? Oh, he's going to try to scare them so that, you know, they will give in to the king of Assyria, Sennacherib. He goes on to say, I say, sayest thou, but they are but vain words. I have counsel and strength for war. Now on whom dost thou trust that thou rebellest against me? Because, yes, there had been a revolt. You know, Hezekiah was trying to get out from under him and the tribute and other things that he required. He was trying to do his best to loosen those strings from the Assyrians. But here is this Rabshakeh. And he goes on to say, though thou trustest in the staff of this broken reed on Egypt, whereon if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all that trust in him. Oh, yeah, if you're leaning on the Egyptians, forget it. You know, we're far superior to them. He's saying in so many words, they're just a broken reed. They're not going to help you. But then, you know, this boastful man goes on in verse 7 to say, "But if thou say to me, we trust in the Lord our God, is it not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah hath taken away and said to Judah and to Jerusalem, ye shall worship before this altar?" And you know, Hezekiah, yes, he had done those reforms that were wonderful. He had taken away the high places. He had taken away the altars that were given over to graven images, the heathen deities. But here, Ripshakai is threatening them. "Don't you say we trust in the Lord our God?" And so he goes on to say, "Now therefore, give pledges, I pray thee, to my master, the king of Assyria, and I will give thee 2,000 horses, if thou be able on thy part to set riders upon them." And the Assyrians were known for their wealth of horses. So, you know, will you do what we ask you to do? You give those pledges and we'll give you horses, 2,000 horses. Well, even, you know, if you really have that many people to ride them. And he goes on to say, "How then wilt thou turn away the face of one captain of the least of my master's servants and put thy trust on Egypt for chariots and for horsemen?" And then more boasting here, verse 10, "And am I now come up without the Lord against this land to destroy it? The Lord said unto me, go up against this land and destroy it." Oh, he's uttering more and more, and you know, and now he's saying, "Oh man, I don't have the Lord, but you know, I've come up here to destroy you. In fact, it's the Lord that told me to do this," in so many words here. Oh, this pride, this boasting. And this is the response here. It says in verse 11, "Then said Eliakim and Shebnah and Joah to Ripshakai, speak, I pray thee, unto thy servants in the Syrian language, for we understand it, and speak not to us in the Jewish language, in the ears of the people that are on the wall." See, there was a concern here, you know, because everybody could hear, you know, this Ripshakai as he was going forth and uttering these words and boasting and, you know, telling them how they were going to come in and take over Jerusalem and destroy it. And don't you dare say that, you know, your God will deliver you, in so many words. All the people could hear it. He was speaking in the Jewish language. And, you know, they're pleading with him, Eliakim and Shebnah, Joah, that, you know, he would, you know, speak in the Syrian language. They understood it. It'd be fine, you know. But, yeah, Ripshakai isn't going to, you know, he's not going to bend to that. It says in verse 12, "But Ripshakai said, hath my master sent me to thy master and to thee to speak these words? Hath he not sent me to the men that sit upon the wall, that they may eat their own dung and drink their own piss with you?" I mean, he's very bold, you know, and uttering whatever he wanted to utter. And then he gets all the louder, it seems to me. It says, "Then Ripshakai stood and cried with a loud voice in the Jews' language and said, hear ye the words of the great king, the king of Assyria." Oh, he wasn't going to be quiet, was he, at all? He wanted everybody to hear these boastings. "Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you." See, he's trying to breed fear. And then he goes on to say, you know, and distrust too, because he didn't want the people to trust in their king, Hezekiah. He says in verse 15, "Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. This city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Hearken not to Hezekiah. For thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present, and come out to me, and eat every one of his vine, and every one of his fig tree, and drink ye every one of the waters of his own cistern." He was offering them prosperity. He was offering them rest, that they would all be able to abide in their own place, you know, and drink of their own waters from their own cistern. He was trying to appeal to them in such a way so that, oh yes, they would turn to the Assyrians and not put their trust in God, nor listen to Hezekiah. Oh my, so he's bride in them with this false hope, with this persuasion. Oh, kind of like a lot of people these days who propose this prosperity doctrine. But praise the Lord. Oh, the Lord knows how to make a way for His people. The Lord knows them that are His. But He commands that everyone that nameth the name of Christ would depart from idolatry, from iniquity, from the ways of the world. And so He goes on to utter this Rabshakeh, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards. Beware lest Hezekiah persuade you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? And it's true, like, the Assyrians have been going forth with great victories. Obviously, God had allowed it. But, you know, it was because the Lord was using them to judge at that point for the iniquities of the people. God was allowing it. But, of course, you know, the Assyrians don't understand this. But so they go forth, and you know, it didn't seem to them that any of the gods of the people that they had conquered had been any good to them. And he goes on to say in verse 19, where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of the Sepharvaim? Have they delivered Samaria out of my hand? Well, those, you know, were gods of the people that lived in the Lebanon area, the Samaritan area even perhaps. It says, who are they among all the gods of these lands that have delivered their land out of my hand for the Lord to deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? See, he's totally discrediting God, and he's threatening the people, and he's boasting of his power and his might, his ability, and, you know, oh, trying to disable them by telling them not to put their trust in God, not to put their trust in Hezekiah. But praise the Lord, it tells us in verse 21, the people that heard these words, as we said, you know, he was crying out there in the fuller's field, and his voice carried, he was talking loud, and they could hear him. But it tells us in verse 21, but they held their peace and answered him not a word. For the king's commandment was saying, answer him not. But then we have Eliakim and Shebnah and Joah. This is what they do. Verse 22, then came Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, that was over the household, and Shebnah the scribe, and Joah the son of Asaph, the recorder, to Hezekiah with their clothes rent, and told him the words of Rabshakeh. Oh, they were in great distress because, yes, they had been threatening, and, yes, he had done his very best to send great discouragement among them. Oh, yes, great discrediting the power of God and the authority of the king of Judah. And it tells us, as we go on to chapter 37, Hezekiah, the king of Judah, was also alarmed. This is what happens next. It tells us in verse 1, and it came to pass, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. We know whence cometh our strength. We know there's no strength in us. But you know, we serve a mighty God who has no limitations. We serve a God that has all power and authority and might, and He overrules the kings of this world. Oh, yes, there's nothing too hard for our God. And praise the Lord, Hezekiah realized his great need. Oh, he humbled himself before the hand of the Lord. He rent his clothes, which was a sign of great distress and humbling oneself. Covered himself with sackcloth, gunny sacks. And he went into the house of the Lord. Oh, yes, he knew he needed a strength that only came from God. He knew, oh, yes, he had to hear from God. And it tells us in verse 2, and he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, and Shebnah the scribe, and the elders of the priests covered with sackcloth, unto Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. Okay, he sent his people unto Isaiah the prophet. And they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and of blasphemy, for the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. Oh, yes, they didn't think they had strength of themselves, you know. Oh, they knew that they needed a power greater than their own. It goes on to say, it may be the Lord, thy God, will hear the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that is left. Oh yes, they knew they needed extra supplication. They needed extra prayer. They needed somebody to touch heaven. Oh yes, and praise the Lord, we have a God. Oh yes, who would draw nigh if we will draw nigh to him. We have a God who will hear our cries and who responds to the cries of his children, of his people. Oh, praise the Lord, those that fear him, our God responds. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. And praise the Lord, Isaiah had a word for them. It tells us in verse 6, and Isaiah said unto them, thus shall ye say unto your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words that thou hast heard, wherewith the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed to me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. Oh, praise the Lord, a prophetic utterance by the mouth of Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. Yes, he was saying exactly what was going to happen. Verse 8 says, so Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libnah, for he'd heard that he was departed from Lachish. Lachish was kind of set up as the headquarters area there, and the king of Assyria had a, you know, I don't know if it was a palace or whatever all, I think perhaps so, that, you know, that was his headquarters, but he departed at this point, and he heard saying concerning Tirhaka, king of Ethiopia, he has come forth to make war with thee. And when he heard it, he sent messengers to Hezekiah saying, okay, it's not, you know, he's still going to try to scare, use that tactic as much as he can, tells us in verse 10. Thus shall ye speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not thy God, in whom thou trustest, deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by destroying them utterly, and shalt thou be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them which my fathers have destroyed, as Gozan and Haran and Rezeph and the children of Eden which were in Telazar? Where is the king of Hamath and the king of Arphad, the king of the city of Sepharvaim, Hena and Iva? And this was obviously sent in a threatening form as a letter. Hezekiah received it. And this is how Hezekiah reacted. Oh, again, you know, the Assyrians were trying to threaten and do their very best. Oh, yes, so that, oh, yes, the Judeans would give in to the voice. Oh, the voice of fear, and turn everything over to the Assyrians. But Hezekiah had a faith. Hezekiah had strength in the Lord. And this is what he did. It tells us in verse 14. And Hezekiah received a letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up unto the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Incline thine ear, O Lord, and hear. Open thine eyes, O Lord, and see and hear all the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and their countries, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord, our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only. Oh, praise the Lord, Isaiah. Oh, yes, came. Oh, yes, unto Hezekiah after that point. But I love how Hezekiah showed where his faith was. He showed where his truth, where his hope was. And yes, this heavy thing that came upon them, this threatening that came upon them, these words of the king of Assyria that were meant to cause fear, that were meant to threaten them into submission and all of that. What did Hezekiah do? He went into the house of the Lord. He took that letter, he spread it out before God. And then he prayed unto the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, what better thing could we do? We live in a time where there's many threatenings on every side. Oh my, I don't know if you know you've paid much attention to the happenings in this country of the United States. But it's a very divided country. Oh yes, those on the left are very antagonistic. Oh yes, there are protesters out there that they are using. There are declarations. Oh man, they are, you know, calling for civil war in so many ways. And here we are, threatened even from within. But praise the Lord, we serve a mighty God. We serve one to whom we can turn, even in these hours, even in these dark times when, you know, there may be threatenings all around us, and you go from beyond that. It could be that it could come from places like China, other parts of the world. Who knows what could come forth? But what a wonderful thing to know the living God. What a wonderful thing to know the God of gods, the Lord of lords. He who ruleth. Oh yes, he who hath made heaven and the earth. And praise the Lord. Oh yes, there are many that threaten on every side. But praise the Lord, there is one that we can turn to, and that's the living God. What a privilege. So many people know not God. They may have idols that have been made with man's hands. You know, they may have another religion. But it's all vain when it comes down to the reality of what is needed, where the hope is, what the truth is. How privileged we are that we can submit our hearts, our lives unto the living God, and that we can turn to Him. Oh yes, that need to turn everything over to Him. Actually, day by day, we don't know what one day may even bring forth. But praise the Lord, as we see the threatenings of the enemy, we know that there is a God in heaven who can turn all things around. We know we serve a God with whom there is nothing too hard or difficult at all. Oh yes, a mighty God that knows how to help us to stand in the day of trouble, to provide the very help that we need. And praise the Lord, as Hezekiah was threatened by the Assyrians, praise the Lord, he knew to whom he must turn. He knew, oh yes, the essentiality of turning to the living God and bearing it before the living God. Praise the Lord, God heard his cry that came forth. Oh yes, God had witnessed all these events. And yes, now God brought forth Isaiah, the son of Amos. Tells us in verse 21 here, "Then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent unto Hezekiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, whereas thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, this is a word which the Lord has spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, hath despised thee and laughed thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem hath shaken her head at thee. Whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed, and against whom hast thou exalted thy voice and lifted up thine eyes on high, even against the Holy One of Israel?" Well, I don't think you want to play against God. Oh, there's no power like God. There's no authority like God. I think you better get right with God. Oh, yes, before he comes to judge this world in righteousness. It says in verse 24, "By thy servants hast thou reproached the Lord, and hast said, By the multitude of my chariots am I come up to the heights of the mountains, to the sides of Lebanon, and I will cut down the tall cedars thereof, and the choice fir trees thereof, and I will enter into the height of his border, and the forest of his Carmel. I have digged and drunk water, and with the sole of my feet have I dried up all the rivers of the besieged places." All that boasting by those Assyrians, by Sennacherib and his people. Oh, yes. But we serve one that is a greater authority than any earthly king. Oh, praise the Lord. We serve one who has all power and might and ability. And oh, praise the Lord. We have a God who answers even by fire, if he wills. And it says in verse 26, "Hast thou not heard long ago how I have done it in of ancient times, that I have formed it? Now have I brought it to pass that thou shouldest be laid waste, defense cities into ruinous heaps. Therefore their inhabitants were of small power. They were dismayed and confounded. They were as the grass of the field, and as the green herb, as the grass on the housetops, and as corn blasted before it be grown up. But I know thy abode, and thy going out, and thy coming in, and thy rage against me." Oh, praise the Lord. We serve the mighty God. He knew all these details. He knew where those Assyrians were. He knew where they abode. He knew their goings in and their comings out. And he knew the rage that they had in their hearts. Oh, yes, the blasphemous words that they had uttered, the declarations that they had made against the living God. God knew it all. Oh, we serve a God, oh, yes, that we need to fear, because, oh, yes, at his word, the inhabitants could be made to nothing, dismayed and confounded as the grass of the field and as the green herb. Oh, yes, as the grass on the housetops, as the corn blasted before it be grown up. Oh, that's our God who can lay to waste the defense cities under ruinous heaps. And it continues as all the words of the living God are being declared unto Hezekiah. It says, Isaiah declared in verse 30, "And this shall be a sign unto thee," talking to Hezekiah, "Ye shall eat this year such as groweth of itself, and the second year that which springeth of the same, and the third year sow ye, and reap, and plant vineyards, and eat the fruit thereof." You know, so things were going to continue. The earth was going to bring forth. They were going to be fed. They were going to be nourished. And then it says in verse 31, and the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. Oh, praise the Lord, there was a remnant that God had promised to preserve no matter what. And yes, that remnant was going to take root. Yes, the Lord would yet send forth His seed out of the house of Judah. Jesus Christ being brought forth, yes. And oh yes, that remnant was going to come forth to preserve that which needed to be retained. It says, and the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. Oh yes, the Lord being with them. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts, shall do this. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, I see this again and again in the scripture, how God has preserved for Himself a remnant. Oh, yes, it's not like it's a great noticeable magnitude of people that, you know, that are noticeably the children of God. But God is going to have a people. And though we be small in number, though we be scattered, though we be far apart, the Lord is bringing forth a remnant of a people that He has preserved that have escaped this world. Oh, yes. Oh, the things of this world. Oh, God knows in spite of all the temptations. In spite of all the allurements of this world, God has a people, oh yes, that have come forth to serve the living God, people that He has preserved for Himself. And praise the Lord, those that escape the bondage of sin, oh yes, the ways of the enemy, the devil, praise the Lord, and it was the zeal of the Lord of hosts that should perform it. That should do this. Praise the Lord. It was a promise. It was declared. It was going to happen. The Lord preserving His people. Yes, because the Savior would come forth. Oh, yes. Just as the Word of God had prophesied and brought forth those utterances. And then it says in verse 33, therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shields, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake, and for my servant David's sake. Oh, praise the Lord, even though the Assyrians had gone forth with great victories and brought down all those other kingdoms and peoples and tongues and even the northern tribes, God was not going to allow them to come into Jerusalem at this point at all and take it, not even to shoot with an arrow, nor to come before it with shields or any weaponry or to cast a bank or some kind of fortification against it. And yes, the words of the Lord, by the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake, and for my servant David's sake. And this is what happened. Verse 36, then the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpse. Oh, they might have been gathered in that vicinity. They might have been edging close. But the Lord sent His angel to smite them. Oh, so within their camp, 5,180 Assyrians were killed. And behold, in the morning they were all dead corpse. And so it tells us as this chapter ends, so Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt in Nineveh. And it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his God that Adam, Adrammelech, and Sherezer, his son, smote him with a sword, and they escaped into the land of Armenia. And Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead. Oh, we see how the Lord took care of it in spite of all their threatenings, all their boastings, that prideful spirit that they manifested. God took care of it utterly and completely, 100%, so that they were not allowed to enter in to Jerusalem. Oh, no, not even shoot an arrow. Praise the Lord. That's the God that we serve. Praise the Lord. Back here in Micah, this fifth chapter, and it talks about this, and man is a word that's put in there, not part of the early text, shall be the peace. When the Assyrian shall come into our land, and when he shall tread in our palaces, then shall we raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men. And praise the Lord, I don't know entirely what the reference is, but I do know that including Hezekiah, there were 8 kings that followed him, or there were 7 after him. So this could be the reference there. You know, in spite of what the Assyrians had assumed that they were going to do, God was going to raise up against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men. Praise the Lord. And it says, and they shall waste the land of Assyria with the sword, and the land of Nimrod in the entrances thereof. Thus shall he deliver us from the Assyrian when he cometh into our land and when he treadeth within our borders. Oh, yes, they were going to be completely diverted. Yes, they were not going to be able to come. The Lord had prevented them from coming into Jerusalem. And oh, yes, they were taken back. Praise the Lord. There came that day when the Assyrians also were destroyed. The year 612, Nineveh fell to the Medes and the Babylonians. God completely taking care of every detail. Their end came upon them as time continued. But the Lord has his way of preserving his people. Tells us in verse 7 here, this fifth chapter of Micah, and the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people, as a dew from the Lord, as the showers upon the grass that tarrieth not for man, nor waiteth for the sons of men. He's talking about his preserved. And I believe, you know, as we go into the second covenant, the new covenant, the remnant not only is made of Jewish people, but oh yes, there's many Gentiles that have been included as the remnant of Jacob. And praise the Lord, here's a promise that the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people as a dew from the Lord. In other words, you know, as a blessing, as a showers upon the grass that tarrieth not for man, of the Lord sending blessing, nor waiteth for the sons of men, God bringing it forth to fall in his timing, at his will. Goes on to say in verse 8, and the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many people, as a lion among the beasts of the forest, as a young lion among the flocks of sheep, who if he go through, both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver. Oh, praise the Lord. He's talking about a strength that he gives to his people. A strength that the Lord God Almighty gives to his people. It says in verse 9, thine hand shall be lifted up upon thine adversaries, and all thy enemies shall be cut off. Oh, praise the Lord, the declarations of the Word of God. Oh, the Lord knows how to keep his people. Well, there's so many things going on. You know, I've heard that in the state of California that there is rulings against the King James Bible. And I don't know the extent of it right now, you know. I've heard from more than one source that, you know, it's on the records there. They're coming against the King James Bible in the state of California, for that they're coming against those who would utter the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh my, so many attempts have been made, you know. Last century when, oh yes, you know, they decided that, you know, there was no longer going to be prayer in the schools. And they outlawed it. Oh, steps that took this country far away from the living God. Terrible steps that were made. The Roe versus Wade. Oh, 1972, I believe. You know, where, yes, they allowed abortion as being legal. Oh, and all the blood that has been shed because of such a ruling. But God has seen, God has heard all these decrees. And in spite of this, God knows how to preserve a people. He knows how to keep His people. Oh, praise the Lord. God has made a way for the remnant. And I love how it declares here, thine hand shall be lifted up upon thy adversaries, and all thy enemies shall be cut off. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, the Jewish people hugely didn't get what was going on. They did not understand why Jesus Christ came to this world. Oh, they wanted a deliverer. A man that would save them from Roman bondage and all of that. But certainly that is not why Jesus came to this world. No, largely the Jewish people did not realize that Jesus came to save them from the bondage of sin. Oh, praise the Lord. And they didn't realize, oh yes, as they had given Him over to Pilate. Oh yes, as they had cried out to crucify Him. Oh yes, those devils. Oh yes, that manifested so strongly to the people that they would even cry against the Son of God. That voice, oh yes, to crucify Him. Oh yes, to let Him be hung on a tree. All of that came from their voices. Oh my, that cry, because oh yes, the devils thought now they had advantage. Oh, they thought now they could take over. Oh, now, yes, they could gain. Oh, that which they desired. Oh, yes, to rule this world without the interference of the living God. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord was bringing forth a salvation so great and so wonderful. Oh, yes, as he stood there, yes. Oh, before He was crucified, as He was talking to the people, before they carried Him off, there was a voice that came forth. Oh, yes, to witness who Jesus Christ really was, to glorify His name. A voice that came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And of course, the people that heard it, some said that it thundered. Some said an angel spoke to Him. But very few people, I suspect, heard it for what it was, what it really was being declared there. And Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes, here in John the 12th chapter. And then He declared in verse 31, John the 12th chapter, He said, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, our Savior. Oh, God robed in flesh, the Son of God, the flesh of God. And there on that cross, He was lifted up from the earth. But praise the Lord, there was a great significance to it. Oh, yes, there was a great event that was coming forth. Oh, yes, as He hung there, dying on that cross. Oh, praise the Lord. He was drawing all men unto Himself. He was bringing forth a way of salvation. Oh, yes, that if we looked on Him, as that serpent that was in the wilderness, that if they looked on that serpent, they would live even though they had been bitten. God was making a way that if we looked to the Son of God, if we looked unto Him, that we would live. Oh, yes, that we would have abundant life. Oh, yes, that we would be freed from the bondage of sin. Oh, yes, for Jesus declared that, oh, he that lives in sin is under that bondage. Oh, yes, bound to that sin. But praise the Lord, there is one that came to this world to save us. And there He was, lifted up from the earth. But as He did that, He was drawing all men unto Himself. He was making a way that we could touch that hem of His garment. Oh, yes, so that we could approach the living God, so that we could come directly to that throne of grace and obtain mercy. Oh, yes, that mercy that we need in the time of need, that grace, oh, yes, that God has given unto us. And praise the Lord there, going through that crucifixion. Oh, yes. Being put in that sepulcher, declared dead as He was. But praise the Lord, He went down into the lower parts of the earth. Oh, yes, He was on a mission. And there was a war that happened in heaven. Oh, yes, the Lord was coming forth. Oh, yes, to bring it forth. He saw Satan falling from heaven. Praise the Lord, He was bringing him down. And it tells us in Colossians, the second chapter, verse 15, "And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." Oh, that's what happened at Calvary. That's what happened when Jesus was in the lower parts of the earth, that He even ascended into heaven to present Himself. Oh, yes. Oh, to release those that were yet imprisoned. Oh, yes, those that need to be free. Oh, yes, to present the gospel to them that yet had not heard it. He was spoiling the cohorts of the devil. He was spoiling, He was ruining the principalities and the powers of the enemy. He was bringing them down. He was making a show of them. If we could somehow see the things that happened in the heavenlies, oh, we could hardly believe what was going forth. But the Lord was bringing them down. He made a show of them openly. He was triumphing over them in it. Oh, praise the Lord, the wonderful power of our God. Oh, as the devil thought he had gained the advantage, but he was making a way for his people. Oh, yes, that, oh, yes, we could triumph over this world. We could live above the temptations of the devil. Oh, we could have some strength, not of our own self, but of God. Oh, praise the Lord. He was spoiling those principalities. Jesus spoke of it in Luke, the 11th chapter, verse 21. He said, "When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor, wherein he trusteth, and divideth his spoils." That's the reference to Colossians 2:15. That's what was happening there. God gained the advantage and overcame the enemy. Oh, yes, the devil and his angels. Oh, that armor was taken from him. The devil was disarmed. Oh, yes, so that we can have power over him. Oh, yes, he became helpless in that sense. Oh, that armor wherein he trusted has been taken from him. His spoils have been divided. Praise the Lord. In Luke, the 10th chapter, he tells us in verse 17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Oh, praise the Lord, that when Jesus was lifted up, he saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He went on to say, Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and on scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. The authority that Jesus Christ was giving to the living church, his remnant, his seed, his people, that he would bring forth all those that he would preserve unto himself. Praise the Lord, that authority, that power that he was giving his church, his people, power to tread upon the devils, on serpents, on scorpions, over all the power of the enemy. Oh, if we could just grasp the power that we have in the Lord Jesus, that authority that we have in his name as his children, the devils being made subject to him. Praise the Lord by the power, the authority of the name of Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed. Oh, praise the Lord, our wonderful God. Praise the Lord. And he told his people, Matthew, the 18th chapter, verse 18, he said, Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Oh, praise the Lord, he's here tonight. God is walking among his people. He's walking among the candlesticks. And praise the Lord, that authority, that power that he gave to the church of the living God is for us tonight. That power, yes, that we can bind those things that need to be bound by the blood of Jesus Christ, those advantages that the devil tries to creep on us. But praise the Lord, we have authority in the name of Jesus to bind whatsoever would come after us. And to loosen those things. Oh, yes, that needs to be loosened. Oh, yes, for the mighty deliverance that is needed, for the works of the Holy Ghost that are needed. Oh, yes. Praise the Lord. And just the fact if two of us shall agree together as touching any one thing, that promise that if they ask it, that it will be done of them. By our Father, which is in heaven. Praise the Lord. The authority, the power that God has given his people. Oh, praise the Lord. If we could just grasp it. You know, thy hand shall be lifted up upon thine adversaries, and all thy enemies shall be cut off. Oh, praise the Lord. In spite of these perilous times, oh, we have the advantage if we have the Lord. We're going in the power of his might. If we're going in the authority of his name. Oh, yes, we have cleansed our hands from the works of the flesh in true repentance and surrendering. Oh, yes, taking his name on, being buried with him in the waters of baptism. And then, oh yes, receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. He gave us His Spirit. Oh yes, so that we could have that authority. Oh yes, and to walk in those high places with the Lord. Oh yes. Oh yes, to rest in His promises. Oh yes, to have faith, to believe God for the things that are needed in our living. Oh yes, to loosen those things, those loved ones, those needs that need to be loosened. Oh yes, to bind those devils that need to be bound in the name and in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. Our God is so mighty. Oh God, He made a way. Our God made a way so that we could trample the works of the devil. Oh yes, that we could be freed from the powers of the enemy. Oh, praise the Lord and stand in power of His might. Oh yes, to be as a lion among the beasts. Oh yes, as due from the Lord, a blessing to the people, for we have the words of eternal life. Oh yes, they might not respond, they might not listen, but oh yes, there will be a people that the Lord our God has called. There will be a remnant that He will bring forth and is bringing forth. And as it tells us here as I close, Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17 says, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is on me, saith the Lord." Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What do we have to fear? What do we have to dread if we're walking with the Lord? We have great strength. We've been filled with His Spirit. Oh, yes, we have great authority. Oh, yes, that ability that He puts within us to discern the times, to know, yes, what is coming forth. And, yes, to prepare our hearts. And to be a light in this world, oh yes, so that we can come, go forth in victory, knowing that, oh, there's nothing too hard for our God. And He has that ability, oh yes, to keep us and to give us that authority over all that would try to prevail against us. Oh, be it devils or men that are inhabited by devils. Oh, praise the Lord, we have authority to tread upon serpents and upon scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, knowing that nothing shall by any means hurt us. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We're gathered as the sheep of Basra. Praise the Heavenly Father, praise our God, praise our Lord. Thank You, Jesus, for what You've done. Thank You for Your precious promises. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Our God can keep us in the midst of great despair and trouble and those that would threaten. Praise our God, just as He kept Hezekiah and His people that trusted in Him. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, God. We love You, Jesus. Praise the mighty name of Jesus. Thank You, Lord.